Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, "I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped, then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble, they will not triumph. In their failure they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them, for to you I have entrusted my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor from the power of the wicked." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, in your great love, answer me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
For your sake I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my children, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God. In your great kindness, answer me. With your constant help, answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness. In your great mercy, turn toward me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. Let the heavens and the earth praise him, the seas and whatever moves them.
Lord, in your great love, answer me. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin, death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And, of course, we're going to discuss these readings. Dawn, did you have any thoughts on these readings?
Well, other than terror on every side.
I loved it when you said that, Dawn. I thought that was absolutely great. I was telling people who weren't able to hear the part that we didn't record of the podcast. Here, I'll let you guys in. I told Dawn, I said, hearing her say terror on every side, I said, that's about the scariest I've ever seen, Dawn, in my life. She's usually not one to be yelling terror to many people.
Well, as I was reading through that reading, I got to thinking, you know, we don't often think we should talk to God like that. And here Jeremiah was. He was a prophet, and he wasn't a bullfrog. He was a prophet. And he, God has told him to tell these things to the Israelites, and they're not wanting to hear it. And so I think he honestly shares with God what he's feeling. And I got to thinking about how sometimes I don't do that. I think, oh, I should just handle it myself. Whereas if I were completely honest with God, my life might be, he might have the chance to talk back to me and have that encounter instead of, not like he doesn't know what's going on already.
Right. That's what I was just about to say. I was going to say, so yes, because we can keep secrets from God.
That's right.
Worked so well for Adam and Eve.
So anyhow, that was my first thought for today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're right. There is an importance to being honest with God in our spiritual life and things. And in a sense, honest with ourselves, too. That can be sometimes just as difficult. A lot of times we want to pretend that we are better than we are, that we're not sinners, or at least we're not as bad of a sinner as somebody else that we know or something like that. So that can be a difficult thing to do. And so I think that is a real challenge for us. You know, one of the things that I liked was the second reading. I was telling you earlier, Dawn, that at the seminary I actually ended up doing a paper on Romans 5, on the whole chapter. Unfortunately, since this is only three verses of that chapter, the whole paper wasn't focused on those three verses, and much of it was out of context, I couldn't put the context back together to do that. But one of the things that I think is important is having an understanding of Christ as being the person who undoes everything that happened in the story of Adam and Eve in original sin. And that's kind of what is conveyed in Romans chapter 5, is that Christ is kind of the perfect Adam, or the one who is able to undo sin and death. And as Paul says, he says, through one man sin entered the world, that would be through Adam, and it came to all people. And he said, in the same way, through one man justification or salvation is brought about for all people. And that person, of course, is Christ. And the other thing that he said, though, is he says that not only that, but the gift of salvation is different from that of sin that happened in the world, and it's more powerful. So it's even more powerful than the gift of, or not the gift, the curse, I guess, of sin in the world, that Christ's act by being obedient to his Father actually earns more grace, or does more good than the damage that was caused by Adam. So not only is everything restored, but it's actually made better than it was originally created. If we can imagine that. We always talk about the original creation as being paradise, but in some way what we learn is actually when we get to heaven, that's going to be one-up paradise in a sense. So it'll be a better experience for us.
That's pretty good, Brian. I have to give it to you. You know, when I was reading that, proclaiming that scripture, I got to thinking, I can't even get all these words out because it's so compact. I think when we read things from St. Paul, that there's so much in even just one verse that it can be dissected a lot of ways. So I like the way you just put that.
Yeah. The other thing is Paul's writing style leaves a little bit to desire, as we were commenting earlier. He wouldn't have won any Pulitzer Prizes or anything like that.
Yes, my freshman English teacher would not be impressed. I was always a little comma happy. I like to put commas everywhere, and so I don't know that he would have got a passing grade.
Yeah, Paul could put a whole paragraph in one. So he has sentences that are paragraphs in themselves. And then, of course, moving on to the gospel, there are a couple lines that really struck me in the gospel. One of them, I told you, was the very ending, is the one where he talks about, everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father, and whoever denies me before others, I'll deny before my heavenly Father. And that for me was real powerful. We have a professor at the seminary who's got a great line that he always uses with us. He says, you don't want to get up to the gates of heaven, or he says, well, you don't want to deny Christ here on earth because he said he'll deny you before the Father. He said, the last thing you want is to get up to the gates of heaven, have Jesus standing there going, well, who the hell are you? Where were you all this time? So you don't want to deny him. That's point well taken. I also mentioned that in my first homily, as a deacon, but my first homily, and I mentioned kind of the notion of, you know, if we do want to be with Christ in the afterlife, if we do want him to acknowledge us, shouldn't we acknowledge him now? And talked about the need to not keep our faith as something private or personal, but something that causes us to go out into the world and talk to other people about our faith, or at least display it in some way. It can't be something that's just a Sunday thing. So that, for me, was a very powerful line in the scripture.
I also like the line, it's one of my favorites, about even all the hairs of your head are counted. Mm-hmm. Because for me, when I am constantly losing hair, I have a really thick head of hair. And so it's not just that when I was born, God knew how many hairs were on my head, but at every moment, it seems like another piece of hair is falling out. So he constantly knows. And I just like that analogy. It's not that I'm going bald.
I was just about to say, no, the podcast is the greatest spot to talk about female baldness.
No, that's not the issue. It's just I have a lot of hair. Anyhow, so it's an ongoing thing. I'm not just, at one time did God know me. He knows me all the time. God knows me all the time.
So. Yeah, and he knows you so much that he knows you to the extent of counting every hair on your head better than you know yourself, or better than any other human being could ever possibly know you. And in a sense, it speaks to his great love. He wants to know you that deeply that he cares about things that we don't care about, at least those people who are not bald, which is the number of hairs on our head or something like that. You know, when you get to that Homer Simpson level and you've got two hairs.
Not quite as hard.
That's right. Then you might care a little more. But the point is basically that he cares about you so much that he even knows the minute details about you that you don't even think about. Right. Or that you just kind of take for granted. I think that's, very wonderful to know that about our God, that he cares about us so much. Another thing that I always like is this line. It starts off, Jesus' line to the 12 is, "Fear no one." Mm-hmm. The professor who taught me the Gospel of Matthew at the seminary, wonderful woman, Dr. Nagel, and she said, any time that you read the words, "Do not be afraid," or "Fear no one," or "Fear not," they're always there because there's something to be afraid of. Yeah. Nobody says, "Don't be afraid," when there's nothing to be afraid of, So it means there's something to fear. And in this case, he's talking about, the unknown, and then in some sense, some persecutions as well. But definitely all of us as human beings tend to have this fear of the unknown. It's probably the greatest fear. You see it in literature all the time, and it's a reoccurring theme. And what Jesus tells us is, don't fear the things that you don't know. And there's not a secret that won't be known. But also kind of this whole thing of saying, that I'm in control here. I know the number of every hair on your head. And there's no secret that's not known to me, who's God. There's nothing you have to be afraid if you trust me. And I think that can be the hard thing, is that trusting, because a lot of times we like to trust tentatively. Like, are you really sure you know what you're doing here, God? So our trust can be somewhat tentative. But what we're told here is there's nothing to fear. And then he goes further and he says, definitely don't fear those who are going to try to persecute you by killing your body. Don't let that be what you're afraid of. He said, if anything, be afraid of the one who can destroy your soul as well as your body. And I think that's a very powerful statement. And you really see that in the faith of the martyrs, of course. Those are the ones who have actually been able to really live that out, say that I really do trust the word of God and I trust his son so much that I'm willing to give my body rather than to deny him or something to that effect. And I think that's a very powerful witness. It's also something, that comes up a lot of times when talking about the power of evil or the power of the devil in the world. One of the things St. Anthony talks about is he likes to pretend that he's got more power than he actually has. But he said, really, if he had power, he wouldn't be trying to scare us all the time. He would just take what he wants. He'd just take our souls. But he doesn't seem to have that power. So what he does is he does other things to kind of bully us into thinking that he's more powerful than he actually is. I know talking to the exorcist from the Diocese of Chicago, one of the things that he says is just remember, the devil's a creature. He's not God. He doesn't have the power to take your soul or anything like that. And when you put that into perspective, you realize, wow, he really doesn't have the power that he pretends to have, which is why he tries to do other things to scare us into thinking that he can do things that he can't. And so for me, that's always a comforting thought, to kind of remember that Christ is the one who's got the power. And the way we know this, he doesn't need to be showing it off and doing these acts of grandeur to scare us or to prove to us. He just says, hey, I've got this power, trust me. Whereas the devil's the one who's always trying to scare us or make us think, I don't think he really has that power. did you ask him about this or that, or make bad things happen in the world so that we sit here and say, Jesus, do you really have this power that you claim? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's kind of comforting to know that, you know, the devil's not the one with the power. It is Christ who has the power. And we need to acknowledge that and express that publicly.
And I think that going along with that, one of the great things about this passage doesn't say that, Jesus doesn't say, don't worry, nothing bad will ever happen to you.
That's right.
And he goes on, I mean, he even talks about being persecuted. And so we're not exempt from suffering, just as none of the disciples were exempt, because, you know, obviously even Jesus suffered and died. But he makes that point that you made before. Don't fear any person, any creature. It's the one that has the... it's the Father that you need to be,
right,
have the fear of.
And the Father understands our sufferings. He says,
right,
you know, that's what his point is, you know, with the sparrows being slaughtered or, you know, being sold for a small coin. He says, not one of them falls to the ground without the Father knowing. So he knows our sufferings and the trials that we're going through. And he's ultimately, you know, Christ tells us he's with us in those sufferings as well. So I think that's something that we can, you know, take with us. And we're pretty much over time on our podcast, so we'll end there. Hopefully we've given people a few things to think about for this Sunday's readings, and hopefully you'll be back to join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.